For more about the situation in West Africa, where more than 4,000 people have died of the disease, we are joined now via Skype by Drew Hinshaw of The Wall Street Journal. He recently was in Sierra Leone and Liberia and joins us tonight from Ghana. So throughout the week, we have heard health experts from Europe and in the United States say that the problem is much worse in Africa, that there aren't enough healthcare workers to deal with this. What's life like on the streets where you've been visiting?
It's terrible, particularly in Monrovia, Liberia's capital. So I was there 2 weeks, and every time I left the hotel, I saw some sign of the tragedy. I mean, you would see a body in the road or a sick person surrounded by a crowd. You do see more response, too. You know, you see ambulances blaring up and down the streets. You see body teams going to collect bodies. Unfortunately, it's just the response still seems just so far behind the disease.
Drew, you've been to this region multiple times now. Give us a sense of perspective on the scale of how bad it is.
It's incredible. When I first went there in early August, you really had to work to find Ebola victims. Now they find you. I mean, the cases are doubling every 3 weeks. The difference is extraordinary. Everywhere you go, you see this massive increase in Ebola cases. You know, if you look at it, if it's doubling every 3 weeks, you can sit down with a calculator and kind of plot how bad this could get, how quickly this could become sort of a huge once-in-a-generational event, both for West Africa and for global public health. The scale of this is increasing extremely fast, and it's extremely hard to see how public health will catch up with it if that doesn't come down soon.
So does that mean that the number of doctors has to double every 3 weeks to try to deal with this volume of patients?
Exactly. I mean, Ban Ki-moon just the other day mentioned that we need a 20-fold increase in what we're doing right now. I'm not an epidemiologist, but my just being in Liberia and Sierra Leone, you'd say, yeah, he's right. It's just the number of sick people, the number of families that have been totally wiped out, neighborhoods that are crawling with people who have been infected, it's just there's this huge increase between what it was like in August and what it's like now. And the number of doctors and nurses that we need on the ground is just so vast, and the gap between what we need and what we have is only getting bigger.
And at this point, they're trying to convince people to sort of stay at home and possibly die there instead of coming to a hospital.
They just have no good answers right now. This is a huge debate. The CDC thinks it's a really horrible idea to basically give people gloves and painkillers and say, okay, you know, feed your family members while they have Ebola. On the other hand, people like UNICEF think that, you know, what else are you going to do? People are stuck in a house with their dying relatives. The rules are, you know, that you shouldn't touch them, that you shouldn't go near them, that you should leave them in a bedroom essentially to die. But that's just not a tenable option. For most people, when their loved one is dying, they get to a point where compassion overrules self-preservation. And that's exactly how Ebola has been spreading house to house. And unless there's just a huge increase in the number of hospital beds available, it will continue to happen.
And I think the journal had this morning just the amount of water, for example, per patient that it takes to try to contain this.
You need just this massive amount of logistics, bleach, water, you know, hundreds of like head-to-toe suits every day, face masks, gloves, just a huge amount of logistics that you need to build and operate these clinics. And these are in countries, I mean, the Sierra Leone airport is so far from the capital that you can only get to it really by boat. So these are countries that just aren't set up to have a huge increase in logistics like that.
And what's happening to the sense of, comfort in the people? I mean, they must know that the entire world is looking at them in this way. And as their economy slows down, are people looking for exit strategies?
People are trying to leave. People are trying to leave. People are extremely edgy. Even where people accept the science of Ebola, they're obviously scared. And when people don't, they're completely confused and panicked. It's extremely edgy. Just the other day, I saw a giant mob. I have no idea what was going on, but it was right outside of an Ebola clinic. A giant mob appeared to be, I don't know if they were beating someone, but, you know, we turned the car around and left. But everywhere you go, you see just, you know, kind of angry mobs that are upset about sick people in their neighborhood or bodies that haven't been collected, these kind of things. People are very, very frightened.
All right. Drew Hinshaw of The Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much.
Thank you, too.